for WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Freedom Restoration Act in Indiana does not give anyone the right to deny services. We've got a perception problem
Former
here.
Governor Mitch Daniels.
But he says the state's perception after passage of the revised Religious Freedom Act matters.
The great value of the Kinsey Report, ladies and gentlemen, is that it has taken sex out of the cellar, out of the darkness, and it has brought it out into the open, where all at once a little sunshine can fall, where heretofore a great mass of dark ignorance has existed.
Do you think this is a good distance?
Actually, it was perfect just how you had it.
I had it like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it was more comfortable.
This is Leanna Hong Zhou, director of the Kinsey Institute's Library and Special Collections at Indiana University. The Kinsey Institute leads the world in human sexuality research. Its special collections contain rare books, photographs, fine art artifacts, erotic magazines, and films that chronicle over 2,000 years of human sexual expression.
So I was telling a friend somewhere, not at the Kinsey Institute, and he said to me, you guys don't walk naked in the house.
Leanna manages, develops, and preserves these archival collections, which are used by researchers around the world. She's also a Hoosier and a Chinese American. To some, this might be a little unexpected. Indiana doesn't make the national news often, and when it does, it can be a pretty simple image of social conservatism. And soy. The same can be said for China.
You know, just in terms of my Chinese family, you know, every time they will talk to me, half fascination, half disdain.
And yet Leanna, in her mid-50s by now, has always been interested in taboo, interested in the question, what's off limits and why?
So I think I'm always interested in the aspect of what's allowed and what's a secret. So I think I sensed what's secret when I was very young.
Leanna grew up in a single-parent family, a highly unusual situation in 60s China. Her mother was an influential administrator in her local school system.
So I lived in a very unbalanced life. So to other kids, I don't have a father. To my teachers, I have a very important mom.
Let's flash back to China's Cultural Revolution, a 10-year period during which the government cracked down on any rhetoric that ran counter to communist ideology.
Millions of Chinese people self-censored, fearing public humiliation, imprisonment, seizure of property, and physical abuse. This period defined Leanna's intellectual coming of age. Mao banned thousands of books, anything deemed salacious, anti-communist, counter-revolutionary.
A part of me just felt very doubtful of all the indoctrination.
There was a particular book everyone wanted to get their hands on.
The 少女之心.
Heart of a Young Girl.
Could probably also be translated as the Heart of a Virgin. They would consider this book as pornographic, counter-revolutionary.
Because bodily satisfaction was a distraction from the common goal.
There was one perk to her mother's job. She stored dozens of the school's confiscated books at home, out of students' reach. Leanna lived right at home with everything she wasn't supposed to know.
She thought that they were safely kept away. But I read many of those books. I remember it was really very striking to me. And those are the books I want to read. I was able to have a secret library unbeknownst to my mother.
A secret library full of books about politics, romance, and individual human lives before such books focused only on ideology.
But even as the revolution faded, novels were suspect.
They would consider as a wasting of time, dramatic, romantic, idealistic.
In Chinese, the word for novel is the same as gossip or small talk. Novels could afford to be subversive, They included all sorts of things nonfiction couldn't.
Leanna spirited herself away to read in nooks and crannies in the construction zone around her house.
I would hide in the, you know, the semi-built places. And my mom would say, where have you been? I said, reading. So it's always a very negative comment. If so and so, you read too much novel.
Sex wasn't discussed much at the time.
I don't think it was really explicit.
People knew about it. The teacher's compound had a playground flanked by schools on either side, and people would whisper about what went on in the slides. But most public attention focused on denouncing sex criminals in the square.
Decades later, and an ocean apart from this childhood, Leanna still finds herself in a world where sexuality is self-censored.
I think sexual repression is not really unique to Chinese. And before I came to U.S., I thought that was uniquely Chinese problem. But now I felt that it's really more universal.
When Leanna finished her undergraduate degree in philosophy at Nanjing University, a friend asked her what she would study if she were given free rein over the choice. Religion or sexuality, she wanted to answer. But aloud, she answered only religion.
So Leanna moved to the Earlham School of Religion in Richmond, Indiana, the oldest graduate seminary associated with the Quakers in the States, and then pursued a master's in library science at Indiana University.
Evan said, the last emperor of China, no longer being the emperor, what did he do? I said, no, I don't know. He said, well, he became an archivist. He became a librarian.
She began to work as both a librarian and a scholar for the Kinsey Institute.
She had found a way to pursue both her taboo adolescent interests, religion and sexuality. Library science is what she calls the practical end of philosophy, the packaging and transport of human knowledge in just about every form it can take.
Leanna's line of work involves the management of states who have donated their collections of sexual materials to the Kinsey Institute.
Oftentimes, the families of these donors had no knowledge of this side of their loved ones. So Leanna the librarian becomes Leanna the counselor. With her disarming warmth and openness, she assures these bewildered family members.
So I said, you know, you probably should feel happy for your uncle that he has a relationship with his own sexual identity or sexual practice. Yeah, well, you have a Picasso piece, you know. You are thinking of money and fame. Well, you have an erotica piece. It's shocking.
Our main microphones went out for a bit, so we used a field recorder for some segments.
But there was one story I thought it was very interesting, and that story always stayed with me. So a lawyer contacted me, and his client had some materials left for Kinsey. But when I went there, the secretary, she said, oh, I really need to talk to you.
This secretary, now in her late 60s, grew up in Southern Illinois. When she was 11, a minor scandal erupted in her church. A woman breastfed her newborn in the pews in broad daylight. After church, the child went home and mimicked the breastfeeding on one of her dolls under the cover of a blanket.
But her mother threw out the cover and shamed her to no end. But the end of the story was such that she got married and she had a girl in the 1970s. And then only about, you know, lately, she was already in her 60s. Her girl asked her, Mom, why did you never breastfeed me?
The secretary told Leanna, I never thought about it too much. I figured it was because everyone was saying that formula was better in those days.
Many years later, she was thinking that wasn't the reason. It was the reason that she was 11 years old. It wasn't because of the formula. And she just felt that she cried and felt. And that story stayed with me. And I think, she's from Southern Illinois. And I think it could be very true in Southern Indiana as well. Curiosity can be punished.
Leanna's work is rooted in Indiana, and it is performed inevitably in conjunction with her identity as a Chinese-American immigrant. In both of these cultural contexts, the Midwest and the Chinese-American community, social values tend towards conservatism, and sexuality is an uncomfortable, perhaps even taboo, topic. So we asked her, how did Leanna navigate difficult conversations about sex within her own Chinese-American, Midwestern family? Leanna has two sons, second-generation Chinese-Americans.
Yeah, it's not easy.
To my husband, who is also a Chinese, I said, well, do you think this is your fatherly role to tell about sexuality? He said, are you kidding? You work at the Kinsey Institute. You ask me to do this?
So first, she tried to leave a lot of books about sex around the house, hoping that they would just read the materials on their own out of curiosity.
My plan didn't work.
She tried a different approach.
I was just so desperate, and I felt like I need to deliver something. So I was reading. My old son was in the kitchen, and I would just burst out laughing. Probably it's nervous laugh. Probably it's forced laugh. And he said, Mom, what's so funny? I said, oh, you don't want to know. He said, oh, you have to tell me. I said, you sure? He said, yes. So I said, well, let me read you this paragraph, because so you know that I'm not making this up.
It was a story about a woman psychologist who was dealing with the same issue of how to have the talk with her son.
So one day, this female psychologist, women psychologist, just out of blue, went to her son and said, son, don't ever use your genitals as a weapon to hurt anyone. So in that story, the son probably said thank you or something to the mom. And in my story, and I thought I should watch if he's going to throw the mugs or something at me. So he said, Mom, that was very good.
Oh.
And I felt.
So my advice to other Chinese moms, my advice is everything is askable.
There was a particular book that made an impression on Leanna when she was younger, a picture book one of her uncles gave her.
Chasing After Sun. So the story goes that, suddenly there was no sunlight. So they believed someone had stolen or hide the sun. So this young man would gather his courage, getting help for all the villagers as he traveled. I think you go where the light is. You wanted to find the source of light in some way, and that the confidence, if you get enough help, you can be there.
I don't know what time it is now.
It's 5:05. Oh, gosh, we have a good time.
This podcast was created by Jenny Huang and Stephen Johnson, with support from an IU Arts and Humanities Council grant. Music from Glassboy on the Free Music Archive.
This is Kayla Mation Garvin, and on Hereabouts, we like to feature Asian American artists who we love. My current obsession is the band Baby Rex, a New York-based outfit comprised of two incredible musicians, Cameron Toy and Richie Allen.
They've just released their first EP, a three-song collection that's fun, angsty, and familiar while integrating social commentary about topics like race and dating. Both Cameron and Richie are half-Asian like me. Both musicians have played for different projects in New York City, particularly favoring the DIY venues that define the downtown and Brooklyn arts scene. Band member Richie Allen was born and raised in the Bronx and can still recall sneaking into the old knitting factory near Chambers Street as a teenager to see shows. After spending time interning at Spin, Warner Music, and Magnum PR, he cut his industry teeth working with a prominent artist management company. Observation turned to participation as he then turned his ear towards action and making songs of his own with Bronx Cheer and now Baby Rex. Cameron Toy began producing their own music as a young artist in the woods of Maine. Cameron's a non-binary musician, writer, and performer. That means Cameron doesn't identify with the male-female gender binary and uses the pronouns they, them, theirs. Since relocating to Brooklyn, they have independently released a number of EPs and LPs of their own work, as well as that of their band Gander Corral, whose imminent second album will also serve as the soundtrack and score to the upcoming graphic novel Half Lives by Barbara Begley. Their latest release, No Good Art in Paradise, is a set of experimental pop songs rooted in the comforts and pitfalls of dissociation and derealization. The Prom.com EP from Baby Rex blends sounds that are both dreamy and biting while reflecting on melancholy, social awareness, and unrequited love. These are songs of eternal youth and the growth of angst to ache, all of which you can shimmy or shake a fist at. Long live the broken-hearted believers, the band writes in their press release. Now, full disclosure, Richie and I once occupied the same Wall Street office downtown. We were co-workers at a Tony real estate company. And my first memory of Cameron is falling in love with them on a stoop outside my 23rd birthday party. I mentioned this to brag that the pair actually met through me. They both worked on a web series I created in the early 20-teens about the experiences of two half-Asian women in the entertainment industry. I'm particularly drawn to the first song on the EP, Boyfriend, which is a smooth blend of rock and pop while solidly skirting the pop rock genre. In the first three lines of the song, Cameron Toy gifts us with these lyrics. Better down another two, licking Cuervo off the ballroom carpet while your friends slip off the roof. This booze-fueled imagery slips into a spiral of angst with the lyrics, and I wonder what your white boyfriend would do. I know all about your white boyfriend. White boyfriends always get what they're after. As a mixed-race Asian-American woman, I've experienced a lot of messed up things in the dating world. The confluence of race and gender proves to be a lot to handle for a lot of people. Hearing this reflected in Baby Rex's first track makes me feel validated and vindicated, even as the track is wistful.
Batter down another two, licking Cuervo off the ballroom carpet as your friends slip off the roof. Don't remember how we got to the coat room like the same doom before us, and you got work soon. And I wonder what your white boyfriend would do. Yeah, I know all about your white boyfriend. Like you said in the late aughts, one touch is never enough, you say. Sipping on the flotsam and jetsam again. We washed up, said he wants to be my white boyfriend. And all of my white boyfriends, they touch without asking. White boyfriends always get what they're after. What my white boyfriend would do. Looking fly, doused in red paint just for you. And I wonder what your white boyfriend would do. Yeah, I know all about your white boyfriend. Thank you.
The two other tracks on the album are also fun, chill tracks with a heavy dose of angst. On I Love the Way You Danced That Night, Richie Allen sings to an unrequited love of his undying affection.
I should have told you, it takes my breath away every time you smile. Whenever my mind goes to that special place, I sit there for a while. All these funny things we do, find someone that makes our time less blue. The past is gone, but for me it never ends. My breath away every time you smile. Whenever my mind goes to that special place, I sit there for a while. All these funny things we do. Never ends. No, I won't.
And on Better To Do, Cameron Toy continues the angst train, singing ruefully, "Wait, could I have been anyone?"
Come in the water. You can fit me in your schedule when it all goes under. Only after the guests are gone, the show has started. As if I had anything better to do today. You say as if you're packing up your shit just to see what fits. As if you had anything better to do today. Then maybe cook and have Sub Rosa with the only one around. Wait, could I have been anyone? Could I have been anyone? Come in, or don't bother unless you're full enough to hit rock bottom. Come to your senses for the fifth time this inconsequential love. As if I had anything better to do today. You say as if you're packing up your shit just to see what fits. You had anything better to do today, but maybe cooping up Sub Rosa with the only one around. Wait, could I have been anyone? Could I have been
Baby Rex's first EP, Prom.com, is available on Spotify, Tidal, and other music streaming services.
You've been listening to Hereabouts.
Hereabouts is produced with the IU Asian Culture Center and broadcast from WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth.
Tune in to Hereabouts every other week from 5:30 to 6 on Wednesdays right here on WFHB.